is the head coach of Phoenix Rising FC. He just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line.
Coach.
Rick, good morning. How's life?
Oh, it's great, guys. I love that intro music. That was fantastic.
Just kind of ramping up a little bit.
Yes, what kind of music do you listen to when you like to relax and kick it back, Coach?
Relax and kick it back. That's tough. I'm really eclectic, but, you know, on the way to the stadium, I listen to kind of the techno club upbeat stuff. And when I'm at home, nothing's better than George Strait.
Nice. Wow.
Like I would it. Not have guessed that. The Phoenix Rising right now, 20 straight wins regular season-wise, going for 21 Saturday. They got a road game in Fresno. Rick, how do you make sure the team is focused on beating Fresno versus winning number 21? I kind of feel like if you try to win 21, you lose. If you try to beat Fresno, you win. You know, how do you keep the focus on Fresno and not on the streak?
You know, good question. The easiest thing is the fact that they're number two in the division. So it's a couple of the players have come to me, the experienced guys, Adam John, Mustafa Dumbaya, and, you know, they've said this is an opportunity for us to send a message in going into the playoffs. So we're like you said, we haven't really looked at any of these games and said, oh, guys, let's go win our 20th straight or our 19th straight. I think the last time that was brought up was on the road at Tulsa to break the record. And it was a lot of unnecessary pressure. So at this point right now, the guys know that we're getting prepared for the playoffs, and this is a big game and a tough opponent, followed by New Mexico next week. So it's perfect. You know, this is knowing that you've locked up the number one seed, but you get to play some very good teams leading into the playoffs. It's kind of like a dry rehearsal and something we're excited about.
Rick, forgive my ignorance on this, but what kind of buzz has this created within the sport, the 20 wins that you guys have amassed?
Personally, I was on the phone yesterday with Sporting Kansas City head coach in the MLS. And I mean, the first thing he said was, holy cow, this is unbelievable. And, you know, here's a mentor and friend of mine that I've looked up to for so long, and for him to just kind of, you know, be glowing with praise for Phoenix Rising and for the job that we've done here, it was a little surreal, you know. And our assistant coach Rambo is from England, and he's been reading about it in Europe, and they've been talking about it on BBC Sport, and you know, when they're talking about some of the biggest clubs in the world and they're mentioning Phoenix Rising and what they're doing in America, that's pretty impressive.
Pretty cool.
You know, and it's different level.
Three straight road games for the Rising. You can hear it at arizonasports.com where we stream it. The next home game is coming up Saturday, October 12th. We got to talk to you about this the last time, but not in a lot of great detail. So I want to give you another opportunity to promote the soccer ball. What is it? When is it? And what does it bring to the table for the Rising?
Oh man, it's so it's 10-10, October 10th, and it'll be a celebration, a silent auction. And what's so cool about it is this year we're combining our player awards, with the event. And last year, rightfully so, it was essentially a tribute to Didier Drogba and what he's done for our club. And this year, I thought it was a brilliant idea. So we'll be doing Player of the Year, the Young Player of the Year. It's basically a big award show. All the money raised from the event goes to underprivileged youth and allows them to play competitive soccer and play at the highest levels. And, you know, it's always been my goal growing up here in Arizona was to make sure that everybody gets an opportunity. And, you know, here at Phoenix Rising, we don't want to miss, you know, any 12-year-old that dreams of playing for us. They should have the opportunity to be seen and to play at the highest level. And if finances are going to stand in the way, we're going to do something to help it.
10-10, coming up, and I've heard I don't have to wear a tux, so I'll come as long as I don't want to mess with the tux. That was fun.
Well, I hear that the players are going to be pretty dressed up, so it'll be cool to see.
Nice,
should be fun. I can't wait to go. I'm certainly going. Rick, good to talk to you, and this is fun. Thanks for all the positive buzz you're creating in the Valley.
Oh man, guys, I appreciate your support so much, and hopefully the Cardinals, Diamondbacks, Coyotes, and Suns can get it going, too. This city deserves it.
Right on, Coach. Well, thank you for your time. Appreciate you.
See you, Rick.
Take care.
There's Rick Shantz, head coach of the Phoenix Rising, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti for your next new or pre-owned car.
What will Wolf watch?
All right, Basinonians, gather around the transistor and press the ear. I have three things that I'm going to be focusing on for the Carolina Panthers and the Arizona Cardinals coming up on Sunday. Number one, how much the Panthers commit to running the ball if the game is close. The Cardinals' defense has kept running backs under 4 yards per carry through two games. Now, quarterbacks have hurt them on boots, zone reads, scrambles, but that's not the same as getting your face kicked in on the line of scrimmage, as we all know. The Panthers want to keep Chandler Jones and Terrell Suggs off of Kyle Allen. The best way to do this is to run the ball effectively and keep Allen in third and manageable situations. I'm supposing, of course, that Kyle Allen is going to be the starter. They don't want to become one-dimensional, right? They don't ever want to be one-dimensional, because if and when that happens, it's time to turn out the lights. The party's over. Number two, can the Cardinals run the ball effectively in the red zone? That is the question. The Cards have to become more balanced in the red zone. They don't have to run the ball and be balanced out on the field, but they need to run the ball effectively in the red zone, and they're number 31 in the red zone in the National Football League. The NFL red zone is really, it's a different animal. It just is. You can get away with throwing the ball at the college level in the red zone, but you cannot do it in the NFL. You've got to be able to run the ball and stay balanced if you want to be a good red zone team. Number three.
Number three.
Kyler Murray's ability to throw the ball against the Panthers' pass defense, the strength of this defense. The Panthers are number three in passing yards per game and number nine in passing yards per play. Ladies and gentlemen, you put the two together and they have an excellent pass defense. Now, the sample size is insufficient and small, but they have two good corners, really good corners, in Dante Jackson and James Bradberry. Eric Reed and Trey Boston are their safeties, and they play a buttoned-up back end. Will Kyler Murray be able to throw the ball with the acumen and the accuracy and the intelligence that we have seen him throw the ball through two games? That's number three as to what I'm going to watch.
You said number two. Cliff Kingsbury talks about it.
Yeah, I just, you know, speed of the game, different things that are going on out there. You get away with in college, you can in the NFL, and I have to do a good job of, you know, not wasting plays when you're in the red zone or score zone. You got to make every play count and have a purpose for every play, and can't just throw it up to somebody.
I can easily understand why a lot of you think this is an idiotic statement, and maybe it'll end up being that way. But the reason why I believe in Cliff Kingsbury, I don't necessarily know if I believe in the offense yet, but whenever I hear a coach that's a rookie head coach be that accountable, when he doesn't have to be, he doesn't have to be accountable to media if he doesn't want to be.
He's hard on himself.
But if he's that hard on himself, saying, I've got to be better, and admitting that some of the things he did was college-related, and he's already a smart guy, you have to believe if you're that accountable and that smart, that means you're going to get better.
Yeah.
That's why I believe
it's called humility.
NBA 2K20 is out now. Year after year, this proves to be the best NBA video game of all time, and we're giving you the chance to win a copy on either PlayStation 4 or Xbox One. Just head to the rewards page at arizonasports.com to enter. Coming up next, the matchups that will make or break your weekend on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports poll question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
What you got, Maloney?
Who wins on Sunday? Cardinals or Panthers?
Cardinals. No question.
Let me think about it. Yeah, I think this is it. I think the stars are aligned, right? I think they're playing at State Farm Stadium. As a matter of fact, I know they're playing at State Farm Stadium. Kyler Murray has played very, very well. I think there's a certain confidence that this team has. And I think Kyle Allen is going to be the starter for the Carolina Panthers, a guy that was an undrafted free agent rookie, a guy of support and respect greatly, one of our own Basinonians right here, a guy that I hope goes out, plays very, very well, and I hope the Cardinals beat him by 3 touchdowns. Having said that, it's going to be a tall order for Kyle Allen to actually play at State Farm Stadium and win that game, play well enough to win that game in only his second start. Can you imagine? Yeah, I think the Cardinals are in line right now to win a game.
So 52% say Cardinals, 48%
wow.
Panthers.
And obviously, it's not like they're playing a team that has an enormous Maricopa County fan base. So that's not a lot of Panther fans flooding the polls. That's a lot of Cardinal fans not believing right now.
Yeah, I thought it'd be a little bit higher, as a matter of fact, right? I mean, the optimism, you know this, you've experienced it. The optimism here in the basin is unbelievable.
I'm shocked people it's only 52%.
I am shocked as well. People are encouraged at how well the Cardinals have actually played. And coming back in that fourth quarter to tie up the Lions at home and then going on the road against a team a lot of people put in the top 5 in the National Football League and having an opportunity to beat them with 2 possessions to go in the game.
I admit, I would have thought that was a boring question when somebody asked it, and I would have been wrong. It, because of the answers, it made it interesting. Get lower-level tickets for only $9.87 to watch the D-backs take on Paul Goldschmidt and the St. Louis Cardinals. It's the Arizona Sports Half-Day Club, where we'll be broadcasting live from the Four Peaks Draft Room at Chase Field. Text HALF to 620-620. That's HALF to 620-620.
This weekend's biggest football matchups.
Biggest football matchups.
Let's go! Let's go! Let's go! Let's go!
Doug and Wolf's Friday Walkthrough.
Kyler versus Kuechly.
Boy, that is tough.
For the
right
Cardinals,
there.
Carolina, I mean, game?
Honestly.
With Cliff Kingsbury.
This is a different
and Ron
offense.
Rivera.
This is really a different offense, though. It really is, Basinonians, right? It's not the classic Drew Brees. It's not the classic Tom Brady. It's not the classic where you're going to go ahead, break the huddle, look at the defense, and then suddenly start checking out. It's a different offense. So because of that, I don't think it's going to be this mental battle between Kyler Murray and Luke Kuechly.
I don't like the idea of ever taking somebody over Kuechly, but I really will. To your point from earlier, I think this is your mesh point game. How are you? You can't beat Kuechly's brain. Or Kuechly's brain. You can't beat it. He's that good of an intelligent linebacker. But you might be able to beat his athleticism. And I'm not saying he's not a great athlete. He is a great athlete. But the way to beat him is to read the defense, is to put it in David Johnson's gut and see what's open and read and RPOs and zone reads and everything else. And therefore, it's not really I called this play that Luke Kuechly figured out, diagnosed by the formation. It's no, I'm going to read which way you're going and go the other way.
Still not as good as Frookie. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Frookie. Yeah. That was interesting.
Kyle Allen versus Coming Home.
That's got to be in his head.
It's so tough. It's got to be
tough.
That's
going to be in his head no matter what.
I feel this for Kyle Allen.
Well, he said he had this game circled.
Yeah.
I'm like, you were the backup.
And not even that. It's the fact that he started last year, but it was week 17, season's over, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't know how many more starts he's got. I mean, this is like, here's your career, young man. Are you Gardner Minshew or are you, Ryan Leaf? You know what I mean? Which way is your career going to go? Is that fair? Absolutely not. But it is the NFL. And so to have all of that on his shoulders is crazy if he was starting in Miami. He's starting at home with his career on the line? Wow.
It's just incredible. He was cut after week 1, right, last year, and then all of a sudden he didn't get picked back up till week 8. Remember Christian Kirk was talking about the very thing? He actually went to State Farm Stadium to watch him play. I mean, could you imagine? Oh, man, the compassion that I have for Kyle Allen. The anticipation as well. Fare thee well, Kyle Allen. I hope it goes well for you once again. Yes, I hope you lose by 3 touchdowns. At the same time, I hope it goes well for you personally. Big supporter of what you've done and where you've come from.
Cliff Kingsbury versus calling running plays.
You know, on this game, I'm going to still say it's Cliff Kingsbury. I still don't think he's going to call enough running plays, but I at least think he'll have some zone reads that also might become a pass. But I don't think he believes it totally yet. Got to do it, though.
The humility allows him to see where he needs to get better. There's no doubt about that, right? The intelligence as well, I think, will serve him well. Ultimately, he's going to win out and realize you got to be able to run the ball in the red zone if you want to win in the NFL.
The 109th rushing offense in college football versus the 111th rushing defense in college football.
I'll take the 109th rushing offense.
That you've taken ASU. ASU against Colorado. They're the 109th best team. There's about 20 teams worse. That's it. And you've got Eno Benjamin. Yet Colorado's even worse at stopping the run. This is the day. Come on, Herm. This is the day Eno breaks out, but I know it's not on him. That O-line's got to ramp up.
You got two true freshmen starting on that offensive line.
Yeah. I think this is the week that ASU rushing attack finally does something and that we can believe in.
The Friday Night Spotlight. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Right now, we go to the Coulter Automotive Group sports line, and Kevin McCabe is there with the anticipated Friday morning question. Where will McCabe be?
Hey, good morning, boys. Actually, I'm in San Diego right now, but we will return. I came out to watch the Zac Brown Band, little date night with the wifey. Wolfie, you understand how that goes.
Yes, happy of course. Wife.
Yes, but we got two games tonight. One for all the right reasons, a great rivalry. The other for all the wrong reasons. Mountain Point is a team in turmoil after this rogue coach, Justin Hager, undermined his program. It was just despicable what he did to the kids, to the program. He emailed their plays to opposing coaches. Well, Mountain Point's got to play a game. They're at Hamilton, and I'll join the circus of media that'll be out there. I got to support my guy, head coach Rich Welbrock, there at Mountain Point. I mean, no coach should ever have to go through this stuff, and he's doing it. I'm also watching Chaparral and Saguaro. It's a great rivalry. Some 40 Division I players on the field in this rivalry. Jack Miller, the Ohio State quarterback, he's questionable for tonight's game. Chap may have to go with rising star Braden Silbor. They won't miss a beat there. Challenge, though, because SAGU, Saguaro, they've got cornerback Kaylee Ringo, who's one of the best cornerbacks in the country. He's talking about going to Georgia. Stay home, young Kaylee. We'll be all there tomorrow to wrap it up at Arcadia's Chick-fil-A, 44th Street and Indian School. Arcadia Titans coach Kerry Taylor, the former Cardinal, and Brophy Prep undefeated new head coach Jason Jewell will join us as well as their team. 44th Street and Indian School, that's from 9 to 11 tomorrow morning on AZ Preps Live, the number one high school sports show in all the world.
Kevin, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate it as always, brother. We'll talk to you down the road, okay?
All right, Doug Wolf, good to talk to you guys.
Okay, thank you very much. There's Kevin McKay, best in the world. I've heard there's a good show in Prague on high school football, so you might have some competition there. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti, the place to go for your next new or pre-owned car. Coming up next, one of the most famous, beautiful parts of the program ever. What just happened this week? So you could work for the weekend on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Oh, yeah. Take that, Paul. Take that. Wait, why did this play at 9 o'clock? What's going on, Bear?
Just go ahead and do it anyways, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, flash the four, captain of the quad squad.
Jonathan already did. You get a guaranteed retweet whenever you tweet at Doug and Wolf at the beginning of hour number four with the hashtag quad squad. And get to know other Doug and Wolf listeners that way. And then Friday at 9:30, we set up your sports weekend by reminding you of everything that just happened this week.
Monday.
That was when Kurt Warner kind of made us take a step back.
The reason that they are having success on offense is because of that young man.
He's talking about Kyler Murray, was he not?
Yes, he was.
The mighty Kyler Murray. Stop and think about that right there, right? I had all these reasons why I was so impressed with Kyler Murray, the Lions game, and how he brought his team back in the fourth quarter, right? Traveling on the road against a formidable team, the Baltimore Ravens. You want a piece of my heart? With a formidable defense, of course, right? And how well he played on the road, had the opportunity. I had all these reasons. And Kurt just boiled it down to the one necessity you need to know. Kyler Murray is the reason why the Cardinals were in these games.
We were hoping that you learned something that from
that.
That
was beautiful. And it was from Kurt. Don't figure.
We found out bad news from an NFL standpoint. Ben Roethlisberger announced out for the season on that Monday. And then Cliff Kingsbury, in his exclusive conversation with Vickley and Murata, said, you know what? The way that we can improve in the red zone is me.
We got to do a better job as a staff and myself of putting them in a situation to be successful when we get down there. And you can't waste plays. In this league, you can't get to third and long at the 10-yard line. It's a tough out.
Look, the red zone in the NFL is a different animal than what it is in college, right? The hash marks, that's an issue. The square footage is reduced greatly. Players are better. Players are faster. The players aren't sitting around in some accounting class all week. They're sitting around watching film of you in the red zone all week long and how to stop you. You want a piece
of my heart? That was well done. And then on Monday night, this stunk. Nick Ahmed's right hand was faster than the ground ball.
Jammed the tip of my finger. I tried to get it out of the way, obviously, but didn't. Kind of just hit right off the finger and cut the end of my finger and tried to get it to stop bleeding, but it wouldn't stop.
Because he follows the philosophy of two hands while learning, which is what we always did in high school, he put his bare hand inside his glove a half second before the ball got there, and the ball nicked his ring finger, and it was a bloody mess. He bled on his gamer.
It happens to the best of them, doesn't it?
Then we actually beat the Marlins.
We built some innings. Yeah. I know that we did a lot right. Got out to a 3-0 lead and then made some mistakes on the mound. Out of the bullpen coming in, a couple key situations, we made some mistakes, and they got back on us and jumped ahead.
That was disappointing, was it not?
Yeah, but then everything turned out okay.
September Tuesday
was disappointing.
Then, what was this? Wait, what?
I have no idea. What he's going to do is he's going to get his treatment, and we'll see how he feels, and we'll adjust it as we go through it.
That's the beginning of the week from Ron Rivera. Their first practice in preparation for the Cardinals was on
Tuesday.
And therefore, we were a little shocked to find out there's no Cam Newton.
Cam Newton! Which means Kyle Allen. Desert Mountain product, Kyle Allen. The Basin's own. Would actually get the start if Cam Newton is not able to go.
We also learned on Tuesday not only that Jalen Ramsey wanted to be traded, but he didn't want you to know about it.
Well, let's be clear about something. I didn't leak that information. Me and my agent, we are not the ones who leaked that information. And I was very strict about that because I did not want it to get out. And I didn't want it to be a distraction. I didn't want everybody asking my teammates.
So who leaked it? Tom Coughlin. Who leaked it? That's what I want to know. If I'm the owner of the Jaguars, I'm launching my own investigation.
We also learned on a neutral site with no bias whatsoever, an official, a someone that is a specific expert on the subject says,
first of all, what kind of mythical powers does a sun devil have? We got to consider that.
Mike Leach, when ranking the Pac-12 mascots in some kind of Royal Rumble, dismisses the Wildcats and is all over the mythical powers of a Sun Devil.
You gotta love Mike Leach, right? At one point, he's gonna be in the NFL.
That's weird. And then the news came out that we thought would happen eventually, but not so sure already.
In some ways, I signed up for this. No one, when you draft your own quarterback, this can happen. And, I gotta live with it and make the best of it.
Eli Manning, not the starting quarterback of the New York Giants.
What a class act Eli is, though, right? What a class act.
Totally agree. And then the unthinkable happened. 12-6 to the Marlins?
We just didn't make pitches. We didn't execute a good game plan, and we made mistakes in the middle of the zone. And when pitches roll up there or pitches are out over the plate, big league hitters will take advantage of it. So we got to tighten that up.
and the then bullpen to make it was a problem, was it not, Jimmy Scherfer?
Oh, yeah. And then to make it worse?
Something that has been bothering me for the past 2 months, the artificial turf took a toll on me. You know, I've just been dealing with it for the past couple of months.
Cattell, could we talk to you, please, over here for a second? Yeah. Derek wants to see you up in his office.
We'll get to that on the Thursday portion. This is Wolf 36 years ago on Tuesday.
The hardest little hitter in football, Tim Agee, picked off a Boomer Esiason pass. That set up a bowling score by fullback Ron Wolfley, which knotted the score at 10 after 30 minutes.
A bowling score. Tim Agee, for the record, did play in the National Football League, got an opportunity to play, I think it was with the San Diego Chargers, as a matter of fact. Alley Cat is what we called him. Tim Agee, a little dude who'd knock your face off.
Wednesday.
Wednesday, the latest on Cam Newton was...
Well, we'll see. Again, he's getting his treatment, he's doing everything he can, and... He's always, tried to get himself out there as quick as possible and as healthy as possible.
All right, Ron, stop talking. Next.
Then we won against the Marlins.
There's a shot to center. He hit that one well. Looking up, and this ball is gone.
And next.
We saw a little side of Kyler Murray.
I really don't care. If he starts, that is my answer to that one. I don't care.
Talking about Kyle Allen.
Because he had originally said, I don't care, and then let us know what he really did care, and he was joking.
Thursday.
Now, are you reading into this? I still am.
Well, the Cardinals restructured the contract of Chandler Jones yesterday, freed up about $4 million, which gives Arizona added flexibility. Some people wondering, does this mean they're in on Jalen Ramsey? They have contacted Jacksonville.
Oh.
Very interesting right there, right? They had a conversation. No, they didn't. Or did they?
Yes, they did, according to Adam Schefter. The general manager says, now, wait a minute, I can't talk about him, he's under contract. Michael Vick says, I can talk about what I see from Kyler Murray.
It's exciting to have a guy like Kyler and a guy like Lamar just being sprinkled into, the guys like Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and Big Ben, and hopefully he gets healthy. And then we got our Tom Brady's and our Phillip Rivers.
Love Michael Vick. Can't wait to talk to him again in a couple of months.
Friday.
I'll make sure I read up about him. On Friday, Steve Keim joined us today and said...
To be honest with you, Wolf, we were under $1 million from a cap standpoint. So, and it's not anything that that we haven't done before, and it's something, an exercise that a lot of teams do year in and year out, and it's just to create some flexibility.
Well, wait a minute. So have you talked to the Jaguars?
Hey, this is no different from the NFL draft, and I know you love to ask me those questions, but as you guys know, I mean, anything that I would say about another player under contract would be considered tampering. So any interest or lack thereof interest is something I can't discuss.
Everybody just calm down, will you please? Nothing to see here. Or is there?
You starting to believe in something?
We're all going to have a front row seat as to whether or not there is something here or not.
You want a piece of my heart? Coming up next, Paul's call tries to drag Wolf into the weekend on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's Call is brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. Stop into one of their 20 Valley locations or online at brooklynbetting.com. Brooklyn Betting, helping you sleep better.
Hey, it's your call, man.
No, it's your call.
No, it's your call.
No, it's your call.
Hey, nitwits, it's Paul's Call.
I mean, I'm stuck here when it's September 20th.
Want to get away?
When I want to be there with my Pauly peeps.
It's a day millions signed up for online to storm Area 51.
Road trip to Nevada.
Are we alone in the universe? And are there other intelligent beings?
Gentlemen, today is the day, and as we speak,
true alien believers have come in from Illinois, Colorado, and I'm told France and Chile to be here for a big desert alien party.
We're missing it. We need a road show outside Vegas.
The crowd is growing, but it is nowhere near the 2 million who RSVP'd on Facebook that they would be here.
2 million RSVP'd. There are thousands right now.
Eric drove in from Fresno because he says he wants to see some UFOs tonight.
I've seen 8 different sightings in my life of UFOs.
Oh my gosh.
Finally here and see
that I can see.
If you're scoring at home, Eric has seen 8 UFOs.
Dude.
I mean, men and women.
This woman is from Germany wearing a tinfoil hat. She says they couldn't miss it.
We read something about Area 51 and also read that there will be an event like on 20th of September.
Wolf, take off the cat hat and put on a tinfoil hat. I mean, you're from Germany originally. You know, it's all about the party.
It's not about actually storming Area 51. Charles flew in from Chicago to be here.
What a party, man.
I'm here to party.
This coming from a Cal Berkeley man.
Hey, man, Charles is here to party.
Totally.
I mean, don't even think about storming Area 51 now.
About 10 miles south of here, police have an incident command post set up
in case
anybody does try to make a run for Area 51.
They got a blockade set up, Doug.
You know it's going to happen.
They're waiting for you with the sawed-off shotgun of sports.
Oh.
Sports takes and Doug and Wolf with repeated pressing questions in Steve Kimes' direction.
When's the last time you called Jacksonville?
Oh, man. You guys are trying to Ron Rivera me.
Oh.
Golly.
Okay, well done over there.
Hey, he didn't hang up.
I like that. It was, though, Kime time. His turn a little later in the interview to turn the tables. Play the clip talking Kyler.
There's no doubt that it's exciting to have a guy who's a dual threat like that. Especially, you know, Doug mentioned it yesterday, I think, of how exciting Vic was in that championship game.
He was in a championship game, though.
No, that's well played. That's good. Kawhi laugh. I mean, it's good, Doug. Doug, you're just taking one for the team.
So deserves the kick right to the
so
cradle.
So deserves.
Yeah,
hey, accept. Doug, we all make mistakes.
Yes. I accept that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, there you go. There was the clip. So, by the way, can the Carolina media just get off Coach Rivera at this point?
I'm not going to talk about it anymore, guys.
That's right.
I mean, let's talk about it at Arizona.
Right.
You know, so it'd be good to answer.
No more questions on Cam.
Cam, though.
I know it's about Cam, but I don't know anymore until tomorrow. So let's just, you know, let's talk about it.
Do I stutter?
There's no reason for me to stand here.
You know? Before the opener, you were 100% confident he was going to be ready to go.
Well, you know what, pal? That's it. You know, of course, what does the media do?
Next question.
They just keep asking the same question.
Next question.
It's a legitimate question.
Next question.
Instead of sparring with the media, Ron Rivera says,
check, please.
Get off me.
I just asked you to ask me questions about somebody else. I'm not going to do this anymore, okay?
Later.
I told you, I won't know anything until tomorrow. Okay?
I'm out of here.
Thank you.
I love the golly.
You know, it's
just leave us exit stage left.
That's right. He gone.
Gone.
Out.
Love the golly.
Paulie Pigskin, though, has said it all week. I mean, the key to a Cardinals win is making sure you know who plays.
Cam!
I mean, who do the Cardinals need to miss another 15 open receivers?
Oh, Cam!
Who's the guy who's lost 8 straight and gone 4 straight without a touchdown running or throwing?
Cam!
So, please, Cam, please start. Do whatever you can to be ready for this one.
So good, Paul.
We've looked, you know, far and wide, and the only thing worse than Cam Newton's stats...
Ladies and gentlemen, my esteemed colleague, Mr. Marino.
The Dolphins. And when you crunch the numbers of Dan's former team... So let's see here. The Dolphins have been outscored 102-10.
Out!
No team since 1961 has had a worse point differential after 2 games. What do we have here?
It's switching. Is that you, Paul? No. Oh, that was
Doug,
interesting right
Doug,
there.
You thought that was just in your headset, Doug?
Right. Okay.
It's on mute. Why did it play?
Miami's odds of winning the Super Bowl have now soared to 20,000-1. That is 20 times worse than any other team.
Kaplooey!
You are an outlier. NFL record for points allowed in a season, 533 by Baltimore in 1981. The Dolphins are on pace to allow 816. Think about that.
At least they're not Blue Tarski, Paul.
Last year, the Dolphins allowed 6,200 yards or so, the most in franchise history. They're on pace to allow about 8,200 this year.
Smash, smash, smash.
And remember, Don Shula coached for 26 seasons, never lost a single game as bad as Coach Flores has lost each of his first 2 games.
That is a reported dumpster fire.
Let that hang in the air.
Yes, exactly.
Big red rage, by the way, while we were doing the show up on the screen. How about the game Big Calais had? 3 sacks, 3 quarterback hits. He had 4 tackles for loss as we welcome aboard Max with double X's.
You got to love a social butterfly.
You got to. Max.
I mean, Max Williams, he's that dichotomy. He's outgoing, he's affable, and at the same time, right?
Oh, yeah.
He'll just bum
he'll
rush
blow
you.
Your face off.
In fact.
Okay, what do you like doing, Max, the most?
I mean, I think catching a nice pass down the seam and getting the nice little pancake, it's like the same excitement. You know,
there
it's
you go.
Just best both worlds.
So his dad played 10 years for the Giants. His grandfather, an All-American quarterback at Notre Dame, was the number two pick overall for the Bears in 1951. Big Max was a quarterback in high school. Think about what he did to kids.
Do you remember some of these New York Giants guys?
Yeah. We split the year. So when we were growing up, until my dad retired during a season, we lived out in New York. And then we'd go back to Minnesota in the offseason. That's where we finished school for the year.
Nice.
So we got to grow up with some of the great guys out there. And we always make the joke, Michael Strahan was our babysitter when we were younger, when my dad wanted to go out.
There's his dad was a player for a long time, man.
Big finish.
Wrap
it's
it
time
up,
once
Paul.
Again for No Comprendo.
Two things. We hope Phoenix Uprising fans are better than last weekend.
What's the matter with you?
And the ref called the match for fans throwing full cans of beer at players.
Dilly dilly!
Of course, because it can always get worse.
Addressing the concerning behavior in the fuss and limo lot.
Wolf, that's the VP of operations. Concerning behavior. Bills fans, the tailgate scene.
So profound and disgusting.
How bad is the behavior when the Bills VP has to plead with the Bills Mafia this week?
We just want fans to tailgate responsibly and be safe and don't jump off of a school bus onto a table and snap your leg in half.
That's
no
what they do.
No comprendo.
There's table diving that goes on.
If you Google up Bills fans tailgate videos.
Great Odin's Raven.
Brace yourself.
It's going to be real bad.
So the Bills admit that recently they've averaged about 30 arrests per game in stadium and then 140 ejections per game.
Lot to do in Buffalo, huh?
I mean, Wolf, you must be so proud of your beloved Orchard Park.
Zero.
Well, there's
right.
Point.
Right.
Zero.
There it is, Paul. There's some instant justice going on at the park, Paul.
So they're talking Bills Mafia on NFL Network.
I like watching someone go through a flaming table as much as the next guy.
Right.
I hope they're kidding when they say.
See if they can drink as much as possible. I don't know how they actually watch a game. I don't want to have to navigate while also dodging vomit.
Come on, man.
Ridiculous.
I don't have to worry about being bitten by someone.
Bitten.
Yeah, accidentally bitten. Be lit on fire.
Accidentally lit on fire.
No comprendo.
By the way, the Bills are 2-0. The home opener is Sunday against Cincy, and be afraid.
Get ready.
Be very afraid.
I'm ready for my life.
Speaking of, can we leave now?
You can drive back to Phoenix.
Thank you, Coach.
Do, da, dippity.
Hey, Hunter, intern, you heard him. Pull my car around.
This has been another edition of Paul's Call.
Get off me.
Now kindly get off Paul.
I'm busy.
He's busy.
We tried to reach out to the man who died in this pursuit.
No.
They were unavailable for comment.
There's still no comment from the dead man.
Hit it.
Dead or alive, win or lose, we still lose.
Oh, no.
Stay frosty, Arizona. Searing about a time.
Elvis has just left the building.
Ball's gone.
Thank you, Paul.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's.
It's all about the you. It's all about the you.
Brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Looking to buy a nice home and can't find one? Go to OurNiceHomes.com. That's OurNiceHomes.com.
Based on what Paul said, my takeaway is looking up the actual stats of Cam Newton. Week 12 of last year, his last touchdown pass. Week 7 of last year, his last rushing touchdown.
Man, we'll keep
good
you posted.
Paul.
We will keep you updated here on Paul's Call as to whether we ever get a comment from the dead man.
Looks like Kyle Allen might be the starter for the Carolina Panthers. Peace and strife.